2 Samuel 24, verses 17 through 25. These are God's words. Then David spoke to Yahweh when he saw the angel who was striking the people and said, "Surely I have sinned and I have done wickedly, but these sheep, what have they done? Let your hand, I pray, be against me and against my father's house." And Gad came that day to David and said to him, "Go up, erect an altar to Yahweh on the threshing floor of Arauna the Jebusite." So David, according to the word of Gad, went up as Yahweh commanded. Now Arauna looked and saw the king and his servants coming toward him. So Arauna went out and bowed down before the king with his face to the ground. Then Arauna said, "Why has my lord the king come to his servant?" And David said, "To buy the threshing floor from you, to build an altar to Yahweh, that the plague may be withdrawn from the people." Now Arauna said to David, "Let my lord the king take and offer up whatever seems good to him. Look, here are the oxen for burnt sacrifice, and threshing implements, and the yokes of the oxen for wood. All these, O king, Arauna has given to the king." And Arauna said to the king, "May Yahweh your God accept you." Then the king said to Arauna, "No, but I will surely buy it from you for a price, nor will I offer burnt offerings to Yahweh my God, with that which costs me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver, and David built there an altar to Yahweh, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So Yahweh heeded the prayers for the land, and the plague was withdrawn from Israel. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Three main things for us to see here. One is that God's hand is against Christ for the punishment of all his people's sins. The second is that in offering Christ, God has given for us that which is more costly than all things in heaven and earth taken together for all time. So God has given the costliest thing. One is God's hand is against Christ for the sake of our sin. On account of our sin is probably a better way to say that. God's hand is against Christ on account of our sin. God has given in Christ. God has given the costliest thing. And lastly, that Christ's sacrifice, the sacrifice of Christ, has been accepted in our behalf. So the first thing is that God's hand is against Christ on account of our sin. And this actually comes out in what David doesn't know, but what we do know. Verse 17, the Lord provokes this interaction with David for David's sake, and especially for ours, by allowing David to see the angel of Yahweh, who is standing now, no longer attacking, but with the sword in his hand. David spoke to Yahweh when he saw the angel who had been striking the people, and he said, "Surely I have sinned, and I have done wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done?" Now, in one part of the answer to that is we don't know. Why don't we know? Because God didn't tell us specifically. But the actual answer, or the answer to the point that David is making, is they have done greatly wickedly, so much so as to have provoked the wrath of God that led to their king being given over to the sin in the first place, precisely so that God could punish them. Remember? Verse 1, "And the anger of Yahweh was aroused against Israel, and he moved David against them." Okay, so David doesn't know it. But this whole thing has been not so much about the wickedness of David. It's been about the wickedness of David's people, Israel. And of course, when it comes to Christ, it could never be about the wickedness of Christ because he has no wickedness of his own. But Christ had to be punished, didn't he? For our sin. Now, David is a sinful man over a sinful people, and there's federal representation there. And when David sins, the sin is properly punished on the people. But what this representation, this federal headship that is behind verse 17 does for us is it reminds us that it goes the other way. Not only did the sin of the one man Adam, sin and death come to all who are under Adam. And not only did by the sin of David in this chapter, sin and death come to those who are under David, but by the righteousness of the one man, the many are made righteous. So sometimes people look at federal representation, which is a reality and a truth and a just thing, and they say, it's not fair that, you know, Adam could sin and we be punished for it. It's not fair that David could sin and Israel be punished for it. Well, first of all, it is fair because God is the one who determines what's fair. But second of all, by the same logic, it wouldn't be fair that Christ could sacrifice and that Christ could be righteous. That Christ could sacrifice and we be forgiven, and that Christ could be righteous and we be justified, we be made righteous before God. And so the prayer that David makes at the end of verse 17 actually comes very much true. Let your hand, I pray, be against me and against my father's house. And indeed, God's hand was against Christ, who is from the house of David, from the house of Jesse. And it was against him on account of our sin. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we might be the righteousness of God in him. And so that's the first thing we see here, that God's hand has been against Christ on account of us. The second thing we are to see here is that God has given that which is most costly, to atone for us. David has made his prayer in verse 17, and God responds with his word first and foremost. That's not a primary thing in the passage, but I think it is important for you to see that God answers by the mouth of his prophet. You have completed Bibles. As you pray to the Lord about things in your life and for things, one of the things that you are to do is search the scriptures concerning whatever circumstances you are praying about to hear what God says. And then also know that God in his providence, although he does not send prophets with new revelation anymore, he does give you preachers, doesn't he? And it's in his providence that that particular passage on that Lord's Day morning or that Lord's Day evening or that Wednesday night, or it's in his providence that that passage and what the Holy Spirit has helped the preacher understand and proclaim from the passage is being proclaimed. And I think if you keep that in mind, you will be prepared to recognize that our Lord is often personally meeting you with regard to things that you are praying about. David, when Gad shows up, ought to have thought, I have cried out to God, and here his word is with an answer to my prayer. And one of the great parts of God's answers to our prayers is often the word by which he addresses us following the prayer. Well, let's find out what the answer is. And God came that day to David and said to him, go up, erect an altar to Yahweh on the threshing floor of Arauna the Jebusite. So we have the interaction between David and Arauna the Jebusite. But notice, David had said, let your hand be against me and my father's house and not against the people. That had been his request. And now as he engages Arauna, he finds a guy who, even though he's not an Israelite, he's a Jebusite, but he is willing for everything he has to be lost. Selling the threshing floor in the middle of the threshing really messes up that year's harvest. And then selling the oxen that would be used for plowing and the yoke that would be put on a new set of oxen for that plowing if he were somehow to replace the oxen. This is an offer from Arauna to sacrifice everything, to lose everything. But David doesn't want it to cost Arauna. He wants it to cost himself. Now, that's all good and well when it comes to this particular sacrifice that looks forward to Christ. But we have to see that we are not able to be the ones who are the losers when we come to God through the Lord Jesus. God is the one who gives everything. When you come to God for the forgiveness of sins, you do not come offering things of your own like Arauna wanted to. It is the one who is making the sacrifice, the Lord God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who pays the cost. And that's a big part of what's behind the 50 shekelim here. Now, there's some, you know, we're going to make application to ourselves in a moment about it. But one of the things that we have to do from the moment that God says about David, before we even meet him, that he has seen for himself among the sons of Jesse, a man who is after his own heart. Everything good and right that David does, we are to see in it a picture of what Jesus would be like. Only Jesus would be perfectly what David was, imperfectly. And so that's the primary thing here, to see that we cannot offer for our own atonement. God pays the price for our atonement. And it's not 50 shekelim. Now, 50 shekelim is, it's not what Ephron the Hittite squeezed out of Abraham when he had a blank check, right? 400 shekels of silver. What is that between friends? But it is a high price. But it's nothing compared to the second person of the Trinity being humiliated to add creatureliness to himself, to become now not only fully God, but also fully man, and being humbled himself to take the form of a bondslave, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself even unto death, and that of the cross. You know, if there were a million universes, they would not all taken together be worth one drop of the human blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it is, as Acts 20 tells us, the very blood of God. For he is a divine person, even as he acts according to his fully human nature. So when you see David insisting on the price here, one of the things you need to remember is that what the Holy Spirit is reminding us is that our God has insisted on paying himself as the price for us. And that's just marvelous. Of course, this, the other part of the application, the way David's application or David's action applies to us, is that we who have been bought at such a price belong entirely to the Lord. And you ought to come with all that you are. And yes, in worship. You know, this is one of the reasons why, you know, on a Saturday evening, even if there's something very fun, or what a horrible word, and not the measure of anything, God have mercy on us, very fun, but very worthwhile or very meaningful, you say, I have been redeemed especially for the public worship of God. Right, we're purchased by his blood to be a royal priesthood and a temple. Those are public worship things. And the most important thing we do in life is the public worship of God. So we cut it off early on a Saturday evening, and we order our actions and our thoughts and hearts on the Lord's Day so as best to participate in the public worship of God. And even when we recognize with children, for instance, that there's a certain need to get the wiggles out and burn up some of that extra hyperactivity, we want to help them to keep mindful of the Lord. It's much more important that their mind and heart be ready for the public worship than their body be ready for the public worship. So we don't use it as an excuse to run wild and play games, or to run wild with them, which reinforces them in not being ready for the public worship. when God has purchased us by the blood of Christ, we want to offer up ourselves as much as possible, as well as possible. We sing with all our hearts, even if that piano is blasting away. We try to blast over it and make it obsolete. No need for it. And you know, the Lord have mercy on those who are competing with an organ or a speaker system of any kind. And then you take how you have offered yourself in a public worship in that moment where you have, you're coming through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus with the holy assembly, and God having given everything and we responding with everything is most clear and most intense for us. And you say, in the view of God's mercies, I, all day, every day, should be offering my body as a living sacrifice to God. And then when your mom gives you an instruction, you don't talk back with the reason why you think you were justified in continuing whatever else it was you were doing or refusing to do what she does. But you say, I'm a living sacrifice to Jesus. I've been purchased at the infinite cost of his blood. And now what he wants me to do is plain because mom said so. And he says, honor your mother and obey your parents in the Lord. Or when a sibling says or does something, you don't justify repaying evil with evil. Or justify yourself in harshness and how you correct them. And you commit the ironic sin of doing wickedly in righteous indignation. And you got to put righteous fear quotes at that point, even if it started out as righteous indignation. And so many more things. Those are just places where it especially connects to us. We become living sacrifices. We offer to the God who has bought us at the price of everything that he is. We offer to him everything that we are, knowing that it is an infinitesimally smaller repayment, not thinking that there's atoning value, but there is responding value, love of him. Jesus often connected his going and suffering and dying and rising again to those who come after him, taking up their cross and leaving everything else behind them and following him. It is how we are to respond. So in the first place, God's hand was against Christ on our account. In the second place, God has atoned for us at infinite cost in Jesus Christ. And then in the third place, God has heeded the sacrifice of Christ. He blesses us for the sake of Christ. That's Araunah's hope. He does not have a right, except by God's mercy and generosity, to the sacrifice, but he's still under the king. Araunah said to the king, and he's been calling him, my lord the king, verse 21, my lord the king, verse 22, and Araunah says to the king, may Yahweh your God accept you, because his hope is in the federal head that the Lord has placed over him, and the sacrifice that is being offered by someone who is his representative before God. And that's our hope, that the Lord would accept Christ, and indeed, and the sacrifice of Christ. And indeed, the Lord did. David built an altar to Yahweh and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, verse 25. So Yahweh heeded the prayers for the land, and the plague was withdrawn from Israel. When God listens to our prayers, it is for the sake of the sacrifice of Jesus, because he has accepted the Lord Jesus and the Lord Jesus' sacrifice. He said right before he went to his cross, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. And then Romans 4 comes and tells us towards the end of the chapter, he was raised on account of our justification. And he was declared, Romans 1 tells us towards the beginning of the chapter, he was declared to be the Son of God with power by his resurrection from the dead. God shows his approval and acceptance of the full payment of Christ's sacrifice in the resurrection. And he heeds our prayers for the sake of the Lord Jesus. He has consecrated even that which we offer imperfectly. Yeah. Once every 6 weeks or so, our concluding prayer, because there's just one of them in that section. Once every 6 weeks or so, our concluding prayer at the prayer meeting, that the blood of the sacrifice has consecrated even for the holy things of Israel. And that's what the Lord Jesus has done. We are accepted for his sake. And therefore, how perfect and complete is that acceptance, and how confident we can be as we come to God through him. Let's pray. We bless your name, O God, that you have given Christ to be the last Adam, and that you have made him our representative, and that your hand was against him on account of our sin, that it pleased you to bruise him for our sake, so that by his stripes we might be healed. And we bless your name, that you have given him, for our sin was against you and against your glory. We did not acknowledge you as God or give thanks, but suppressed the truth in unrighteousness. And we have lived for and delighted in and depended upon the creature rather than you, the Creator, who are blessed forever. Amen. And we have fallen short of the glory of God. And so you exhibited him as a propitiation. So with our sin bigger than all that has been created, you have given yourself, who are more valuable, who are more costly than all that has been created. And we bless your name that this has been accepted in our behalf, and that in Christ we have peace with you, and that in Christ we are righteous by faith, and in Christ there is no condemnation for us, and in Christ there is love from which nothing can separate us. And so we praise you that you have accepted him, and that in him you have accepted us. And we ask that you would make our hearts to rest upon this and rejoice in this, to rest upon him and rejoice in him, to rest upon you, our God, and rejoice in you, by the help of your Spirit, upon whose gracious work we depend moment by moment. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.